You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So my message this morning is not a lengthy one. Some of you are saying, I've heard that before, Pastor. Heard that one before. But it's a pointed one. I think it would behoove all of us to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit has for us today. I was so tempted to preach from the gospel message from Luke because it falls right in line with Matthew 24, which the End Times Bible study has been going over and over and over. But I decided to give us a break from the End Times for a short period because the message from the epistle from 2 Thessalonians really spoke to me. I hope it speaks to you. I'm sure the Holy Spirit has something in there for each of us. But I've mentioned many times before, part of our mission and ministry as the body of Christ, that movement of the Holy Spirit in the world, we call it the church. The mission and ministry is to spread scriptural holiness across the globe. And one of the ways we do that is by practicing the disciplines of our faith to the point of their becoming a way of life for us. We practice them for all to see on full display out there in the world. We learn about our faith, its precepts, its tenets, its ordinances. We learn about our faith, and then we practice those things until they become second nature to us. And as we live into these disciplines of our faith, we share our faith, and we demonstrate our faith so that others will see it and be curious. And that curiosity comes with it a desire for others to be included, a desire in them to want the same peace and joy in their own lives that you have in yours. And so our epistle this morning from Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 3, verses 6 through 13, speaks to us this morning about living into this disciplined life, this life of faith. For our own benefit, yes, but also for the benefit of those that are looking on at what we're doing. Listen to what Paul writes to the Thessalonians. He says, "Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother or sister who leads a disorderly life, and not one in accordance with the tradition which you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined way among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we don't have a right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a role model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now we command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and eat their own bread. But as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary of doing good. So that's a very pointed message. Paul is saying our orders, backed up by the Master Jesus, are to refuse to have anything to do with those among you who are lazy and refuse to work the way we taught you. Don't permit them to freeload on the rest. We showed you how to pull your weight when we were there with you, so get on with it. We didn't sit around on our hands expecting others to take care of us. In fact, we worked our fingers to the bone. We were up half the night moonlighting, so you wouldn't be burdened with taking care of us. And it wasn't because we didn't have the right to your support. We did. We simply wanted to provide an example of what it is to be diligent, hoping that it would prove to be contagious. Paul's explaining to the church in Thessalonica and also to us that part of the spiritual discipline of your faith is to hold up your end of the burden so as not to cause someone else to be overburdened. Every now and again, we see this specter of communism and socialist dogma. It raises its vile head in the world. These are antichrist philosophies that go against the word and will of God for his people. They require that people carry the dead weight of those not willing to carry their share of the load. And you may think that's just some philosophy reserved for governments and nations, but no, all of those things begin in the community. Whatever community you live and serve in. Those philosophies encourage the lazy to take advantage of those who are willing to work. They're designed to enslave people to the state, to the organization, to whatever it is that provides them the things that they think they need in this world. They're designed to enslave people and discourage anyone from looking to God, who is the true source of provision and supply. At its most extreme, these socialists, communists outlaw Christianity entirely, because in practice, your faith, your Christianity promotes freedom and liberty, which are the polar opposites of socialism and communism. It amazes me, really, after history has demonstrated the failed nature of this demonic ideology, that we're still contending with it in our own country, in our own community, in this day and age. It's a desperate attempt by the devil to lead people down a wrong path that leads away from God, from Jesus, our Lord. And so Paul continues. He says, don't you remember the rule we had when we lived with you? If you don't work, you don't eat. And now we're getting reports that there's a bunch of what the Message version of the Bible calls lazy good-for-nothings, taking advantage of you people who are willing to work. Paul says you cannot tolerate that behavior. And so we commend that those people get to work immediately with no excuses and no arguments. Earn your own keep. And then he says to the church, don't slack off in doing your duty. See, I think it's interesting how practical this practice of scriptural holiness is in our everyday lives. We tend to think of it as some lofty spiritual thing up here that we are striving to attain. And in some ways, I suppose you could see it that way. But really, it is designed to be practical. Living according to the scriptures is a practical approach to life. Earning your own keep is part of practicing your faith in Christ. Who'da thunk it? Is that good English, Gene? Who would have thought that earning your own keep, carrying your own weight, is a part of practicing your faith in Christ? And so Paul says here, get to work. Don't slack off in doing what's right. Set the example. Set the bar and then be the bar. Don't expect others to carry your load. Meet your obligations head on and save your charity for those who really, truly are in need of help. Give to causes that make a difference in people's lives. Help the poor, not the lazy. Be disciplined in your faith by being disciplined in your giving. Be disciplined in your spending. Be disciplined in the utilization of your God-provided resources. Be good stewards of what God has blessed you with. Give God his tithe as Scripture demands for the work of the church. Handle your business with honesty and integrity. Be generous to those in genuine need. But Paul cautions us, do not squander your resources on those who simply will not work and provide for themselves and their families. Practical advice from Scripture on leading a scripturally holy life. Practical words for a disciplined life, a life of faith, a life of scriptural holiness, which we as the church are to spread across the globe, starting in our own households and our own circle of influence as it goes out. This is how we are to live as Christians. It's a practical message of faith. I hope you'll embrace it this morning in the spirit that it's given. This is not the pastor pointing fingers. This is the pastor relaying what the Holy Spirit has for us as a church and a community as we practice our faith for everyone to see. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.